These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maserati, brought to you by Planet Fitness. They bring you Agenda Free Friday. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. We continue with your calls as promised. Tony and Shirley has a Patriots thought for us. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing? Michael, give me 30 seconds, if that. You give Carrot Top from Tampa Bay 10 minutes. Listen, Belichick, like, what's his name? Was it Shaughnessy that said he's going to, you won't know, like, the Kennedy assassination?
Yes.
You're going to know. Bill, all he got Brady for the rest of his career, I believe. No good backup. He's going to try to win championships, and that's it. My second thought is time to bury the Butler thing. I don't know about anybody else. I know you don't take polls, but I am tired of listening to it. I'd rather listen to soccer that I hate more than listen about Butler. Please. Tony from Shirley out.
Okay, Tony, thank you. You want to let the Malcolm Butler thing go there, Murray?
No, never. Never, ever, ever.
Me neither, Murray.
It's a good topic. I mean, it really is.
Oh, no, I love it.
Who the hell knows what happened there?
In fact, given the way the regular seasons for the Patriots typically go, I may not let it go till the divisional round. No, I take that back. AFC Championship week.
TJ in the car. Should Kraft have stayed out of Brady Garoppolo, or do you applaud him for stepping in and saving Tom Brady?
Here's why Robert Kraft should not be considered a hero by anybody. Even the biggest Tom Brady supporter would recognize it's a viable football debate whether to stay with Brady or go with Garoppolo. That's a 50-50 decision. If you put up a poll, it'll support that. There's no way Kraft should get involved in a 50-50 football decision. This was not Bill Belichick driving the bus off the tracks. You could make the argument that he should have got more involved in the Garoppolo trade than the Brady versus Garoppolo decision. No way, no how is Robert Kraft a hero.
That's an interesting point. And this is all based off, again, some callers call up and say Kraft is to blame for the Palace Q and all the stuff that's going on there. And that led me to say, I think Kraft should be getting more support than he has from the Brady crew, meaning you people who think that Brady's the key to this whole thing. And it just was kicked off by an Adam Jones conversation the other night or last night, where Jones says, I don't like Garoppolo. I don't want Garoppolo. Brady should be the quarterback on this team. Yet I blame Kraft for stepping in. And like, huh? So if you believe that, Garoppolo isn't proven and may not be very good, and they should not be going forward with Garoppolo, then you should be supporting Kraft. You should be championing Kraft.
Yep, and starting today, I'm going to start banging that drum. I already have the hashtag going. Just tweeted it. Hashtag thank you, Robert.
Save the team. I mean, he saved the Patriots. And I never hear that. I don't ever hear that. And I'm, you know, again, there's some of you who think Belichick's more responsible. Some of you think Brady's more responsible for what's going on here. What's that poll number, Jimmy? Brady Belichick, who's more responsible for what's going on here?
3,254 respondents, 59% Brady, 41% Belichick.
So
it has gone up.
It is amazing, but it stayed steady at the high 50s to 40.
It just goes to show you that whole exit polling thing works.
I'm telling you, our polls really, they really do.
They satisfy.
Emphasize or just...
Within whatever comes in the first couple of minutes is usually where it stays.
It sticks?
Yeah, it does. It's that thing works, man. That whole exit polling thing, it works. It does. It works. It's a good... It usually is a good barometer. It might move a little, but it's a good barometer of where public sentiment is.
Yesterday's poll started around 70 to 30 and ended at 70 to 30. This one's been roughly 60-40 the whole day from the very first sample of 100 people.
So I just took the liberty myself of throwing another question out there on the Twitter sphere. Did the Patriots make a mistake by trading Jimmy Garoppolo? And in the first couple of minutes, 74% say yes. So let's see what that is in 40 minutes, an hour.
So tie it together then.
No, I'm just saying that, first of all, I'm serving my own agenda because I believe. But I also think, you know, the caller said, you know, anybody with a logical brain that can look at it objectively understands that it's a difficult football decision, that at worst it's 50-50. So I want to know, what do people think? In retrospect, you look at it, should they have traded Garoppolo or not? I want to see what people feel now.
Your people are going to say that. Those are your people on your Twitter feed.
I suppose theoretically that is true.
It is. It's your Maserati Nation there. How many followers you got there, big boy?
129,000.
The old Maz echo chamber.
That is.
This thing's in the bag.
I like that. The Maz echo chamber.
The Maz ditto heads out there. So, of course, they're going to be. It's all your Paisan there.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
So, but
sometimes I feel like this studio's the Maz echo chamber, Murray.
All I'm saying is it's not 100% right to say you don't want the owner involved in football decisions. And I don't want it either. On the face of it, right, you don't want the owner involved in football decisions. But there comes a point where there has to be a check on the coach. There has to be. Even if you've given the coach, quote unquote, complete control. At some point, there are the big macro decisions that impact the organization where the owner has to be there to save the franchise from a coach that may have gone off the rails or just got stupid or had a bad night behind the bar or whatever. You know, like if I were the owner of the New Orleans Saints, when Mike Ditka came in and said, I'm going to trade our entire draft board and I think a first-round pick the next year. Didn't he do that too?
Something. There were 8 picks total, I think, for Ricky Williams.
I'm going to trade our entire – we're not going to have a draft for a running back. We're going to. If I were the owner, I'd say, Mike, you're not allowed to do that. And so there, that would be an owner making a football decision, but you'd have every right to, because when you're talking about that sort of scale, the owner has a say in that.
Sure, that's right, because now you're jeopardizing the future of the franchise.
Or if you were the Minnesota Vikings who traded all those picks for a running back, Herschel Walker, if I'm the owner of the Vikings, I come and I say, guys, no. And so there, you're making a football decision – but you're right to do so.
This trade is so bananas. 8 picks total, including 2 first rounders.
For yeah. Ricky Williams. So you don't think the owner has the right to make a football decision there to save the team from the wacko coach? Now, I don't think this qualifies with Bill. I'm not saying Bill's in this category. But if you allow for the fact that the owner should have some say on the big, big, big ones, then, and if you're a Brady guy, you should be championing Robert Kraft. He should be getting your support. I never hear it, though.
Jason? They did. They traded first in 99 and 2000.
Oh, never mind the whole draft board in 99. Here's Jason in the car. Go ahead, Jason.
All right. So I want to think about Brady versus Garoppolo in a little bit different perspective. I'll ask you this, Sugar. How many more years do you think Belichick has?
If he had Garoppolo, 3 to 5.
Okay. Well, that changes my question.
But right now, as it stands now, I think he's 1 and done.
All right. So let's say it's 2 or 3 to split the difference with you.
Okay.
Do you think the Patriots have a better chance, or how many more rings? Which situation would give you more rings? Brady plus Belichick for 1 more year or maybe 2, and then Brady plus whoever's after that, let's call it McDaniels, or Garoppolo with Belichick for 2 to 3 more years, and then Garoppolo with McDaniels for maybe 8 or 10 more years after that.
That second thing you said.
Okay, I disagree with you wholeheartedly. I don't trust Josh McDaniels as a head coach. I know he's valued by the Patriots. I don't trust his track record. I don't trust his draft record. I don't trust anything about him being a head coach.
But how many more cracks at it would you have? You would have had 10 years of Garoppolo. And if you've got a good quarterback in that league, that's 3/4 of the way home.
Yeah, to me, you take the quarterback. You always take the quarterback.
So, and again, it's the number. I mean, if you're telling me how many would you have over the next 2 to 3, of course it's with Brady. Yeah, obviously. But that's the whole point of Garoppolo. You get a whole nother decade out of it. And so how many more cracks at it would you get? That's the whole point.
I'll tell you, too. And
I think if Garoppolo were here, Bill would have stayed. Because as we've seen, Bill's invested in Garoppolo and has a vested interest in that player. And he would have stuck around to see that through.
I mean, so to me, that's the variable now that we will find out over time. But if trading Garoppolo also cost you Bill?
It has. I mean, I mean, let's see what happens, right? Obviously, but if he is 1 and done, that whole thing hastened the exit of Bill Belichick.
I mean, and that's the way you'd have to look at it. Like, it wasn't just trading Garoppolo for a second round pick; it was trading Garoppolo and Bill for a second round pick. Like, wow! After Bill, remember what it cost to get Bill Belichick in the first place. So think of that. If the return for Bill and Garoppolo is a second rounder. Oh, my God, one of the worst trades in NFL history.
Pete and Milton, go talk to your ditto heads on your Twitter feed there.
I'll see how they're answering.
Pete and Milton, what do you got on the Red Sox?
You guys have discussed the potential of their picking up an arm, whether a starter or a relief or maybe even another bat. But what about considering them getting a base runner? And I'm not even talking a base stealer. I'm talking a literal base runner, a pinch runner, because these guys on the base paths, they're just absolute jackasses. It's starting to become a pain in the ass. and higher level. I think they, so they're winning so much that they're just, they, because of that, they're under tighter scrutiny, and they have these brain farts, whether it was Cora keeping Pomeranz in for the fifth inning the other day, Mookie Betts swinging, grunting into a double play to end the game the other day after the guy had thrown five straight balls. And then there was another blunder last night, I think with JBJ getting thrown out at third with JD on deck. It's just the brain farts are there. They always have been. But
okay, let me stop you. It's not going to be solved by one pinch runner. I mean, this has been the report. They've been a horrible base running team now for years.
No. So, and look, there were certain guys, though, that, and they're going to have a deeper bench in the playoffs. Okay. But there were certain guys that I think in certain spots they should consider running for. Would I trade for a pinch runner? No.
No.
No. Like, so I don't want to get into trivia's Tuesday night. We'll do that another time.
Oh, come on. We have a trivia question.
Do you remember the guy that the Oakland A's signed as a pinch runner in the 70s?
Oh, my God.
He was literally a pinch runner. They had a pinch runner on their roster.
No, I don't have this one.
Okay.
Answer after this if you care.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And does it matter to you? Do you care that the fans want to know more about this?
I'm focused on doing the best that I can for the 2018 New England Patriots. That's my job. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I've always done in the past. You know, every day that I've coached here, I've done the best that I could for this football team, and I'll continue to do that. And right now, my focus is on the 2018 season, not 2017, not 2014, not 2007, not 2004, not 2001, not 2000. I'm not focused on any of those seasons. They're done.
And for this season's team, is it important for you to address the Malcolm Butler thing with your team?
It's important for me to have a good season in 2018. I'm going to do everything I can to do that, do the best that I can for our football team. That's my job, and that's my responsibility. That's what I'm going to try to do. Hopefully you can respect that, but maybe not.
Again, everything from the week here on the table. Gender-free Friday. That was the most notable piece of sound, I'm safe in saying. Maybe a borderline all-timer. Still makes Murray mad just hearing it.
It does. It aggravates me. I don't know. Just give the answer. Or even if you have to lie, at least tell your players. At least tell your important players. Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman, why you made that horrific decision to cost them that Super Bowl. That's all. Instead of, no, I'm on to this year, man. Not 2017, not 2013, not 2007, not 2004. I don't know. Leave me alone so I can go text my binky Jimmy. Just annoyed by it.
I like the new Belichick voice.
Not 2000, not 2001, not 2004, not 2007, not 2017. Nothing. Maybe you can respect that.
It's good. No, it's good. Exactly. It's good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
you
know, I like it.
I think you capture something with that.
Yeah, as opposed to the I like a.
It's a more fun cadence.
Oh, I like it. I'm going to start using that myself.
Here's Bob and Easton. Bob, what do you got for us?
You know, new studio, same old crap. Same old crap. Listen, since that clock went
hold on. We should just make that should be the next shirt.
That is our next shirt. That's a promo. That's like our show slogan. That is it. He captured it.
New studio, same old crap.
I do. I like that.
It's perfect.
No, we got to market that.
That is our new T-shirt.
I'm gonna
no
tweet,
question
I'm
about
tweet
it.
That right now.
Tweet it out. No, you could not have captured it better, Bob. New studio, same old crap. Oh, that's so perfect, Bob. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What's your point today?
Well, geez, this new studio, I'm not used to these beeps and these dots and dashes. First off, this is crazy. You know what's going to happen? I've been hearing this for the last couple weeks, especially you, Felger. Oh, when they take a picture of Brady and Belichick, and everyone's going to go, ooh, you see? You know what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. When they go 1-3 or 2-4, you guys are going to go, ooh, you see? There was disruption, and they should have brought up Butler, and they should have explained it to the team. Listen, This is what makes me so upset with you knuckleheads. And Murray, you're a moron with those sunglasses. All right? You're a DB with those things.
I can't see in here. I'm not doing it for effect.
And Murray, let me ask you a question, because you're the biggest idiot of them all. So it makes you so mad that Belichick doesn't explain, or because he doesn't explain why he didn't play Butler? Like, what does that matter? So he's the reason why he cost them the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, my. Can I do me a favor? Send me a copy of your resume so I can do the opposite, because you are a moron.
He's done pretty well for himself, Bobby.
Right. 20 plus years in radio. I'm failing upwards, baby.
He's a talented guy.
I hate to break it to you. There's an upward trajectory over here, Bobby. You got that one wrong.
He came in hot. Oh, that was
great.
Awesome.
That was outstanding, though. New studio, same old crap.
I tweeted it.
That was perfect.
I want to steal that.
Mike and Woburn, what do you got for us today?
Jim, I think you should get a welder's mask. Just forget the sunglasses. Just go full Darth Vader. Full Darth Vader. Even with the breathing, you know. That poll, I don't see how people don't understand that without Bill Belichick, Tom Brady isn't the same Tom Brady. I mean, he might not have even been drafted. How many coaches come in here to a bad Pete Carroll team and carry four QBs on the roster?
So, you know, I mean, Mike, in that regard, like, if Brady was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, he might not have a championship. I think if Bill had kept his job, now he might not have gotten a chance if he had a fourth or fifth straight losing season or something like this. But if Bill had kept his job, he eventually would have figured it out. He would have found the guy and he would have won. If Brady was drafted in the wrong place, he might not have a single championship.
That's my feeling too, because I mean, you look at what Bill did the season when Brady went down, when he had his structure in place, they still went. They it was basically the one 11-5 team that doesn't go to the playoffs. It was an anomaly, and that team wasn't a great team. We watched that team all year. That wasn't a great team. My biggest problem right now is with Mr. Kraft not telling Bill in time that Tom Brady is staying and he needs to move Garoppolo, because the timing seems to me like it was Kraft didn't tell Bill that you're not keeping your football son.
It's a good point.
And at the last second, Bill is left, you know, holding this guy at the deadline going, all right, I either keep him and lose him for nothing, or I move him now. I have no time to create a market. It's not around a draft when you get the stupid, you know, Mike Ditka trades that fall into your lap. You know, the midseason, there's never big prices. It's not baseball. It's not football. It's not hockey when the NFL trade deadline.
Well, so Mike, let me just stop you. Just that point of that if Kraft was going to intercede and make Bill understand you're not keeping Garoppolo.
He should have told him earlier.
And put the ultimatum in earlier. If I'm going to step in and make this call as the owner, at least make it at the right time so you could have maximized the asset that previous draft.
Okay, so the only variable there to me is that maybe he did and Bill ignored it.
Which is entirely possible.
Like, I you know, what I'm just saying is, what are you going to do? I don't know. So what do you want to do? Well, I'm going to hold on to Garoppolo for a while and then we'll figure it out. Okay. Like, but if you're going to trade him, you might want to do it now. Okay, and he didn't move him.
I mean, I still think, though, the market's not great at the trade deadline in the NFL. He still could have picked up the bleeping phone from Cleveland and gotten an offer.
No question.
And played it off against San Francisco. Remember, when he called San Francisco out of the blue, he's the one that asked for a second. It wasn't offered. It's not like he asked for a first and San Fran said no a second and Bill said okay. That was Bill's offer.
Yeah, his priority was to get Garoppolo in a good place.
And Shanahan couldn't take it fast enough, smartly, by him. So, like, even though the market was bad at that time and the timing wasn't good, and that might be Kraft's fault, Bill still could have done more with that.
Oh, yes. No doubt about it. The right time to trade him would have been the draft.
Previous draft.
Absolutely. He'd have gotten a haul for him at the draft.
I think even hanging on to him to this draft, you know, that, you know, even though everyone knows you're trading him, it's still, you know, and even if Jimmy doesn't want to necessarily go there, you have 2 years of franchise tag. Like, I mean, I still think at one of the two drafts, the previous one was really the one. But yeah, I would have held on to him just in case Brady got hurt, and you're taking it that far, you might as well.
He sold low.
Franchise him and then trade him at this draft.
His priority was to get Garoppolo in a place where Garoppolo could succeed. That was his priority.
Again, and look, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan can coach or not, but I do know that his reputation with quarterbacks is pretty good.
Oh, Bill believes in the Shanahans. There's no doubt about it.
And Matt Ryan did have a great year under Kyle Shanahan. I mean, he did. That's a fact. So, and it was the second year of the offense where it really clicked. So I don't know. Will that happen with Garoppolo? Like, who the hell knows? But it looks like Shanahan's got a little bit of a, you know, a touch there with quarterbacks.
Here's to hoping that it doesn't.
I want you to sort of mine and workshop that new Belichick voice. That one's got some potential there.
Here's I love it.
Here's an update from Murray.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final segment of your calls here on an agenda-free Friday. I wanted to do something real quick and just thank the folks from Christmas in the City last night. Went to their fundraiser at the Seaport Hotel in Boston. We auctioned off a couple of studio visits there, and I want to thank specifically Jimmy and Danielle McKinney from Nashua, New Hampshire, and Carol McKeon, who won studio visits. They'll get to come in and witness Felger and Maz live in all its glory in person. But thanks to both of these, again, Jimmy and Danielle and Carol, for their bids, and we look forward to seeing them. Carol McKeon, Maz?
Yeah.
If she's not the best-looking listener of Felger and Maz, she's in the top five.
How old?
I'm not going to... That's not polite. It's not nice.
I mean, is she, like, married?
Yes. Married. She's in our demo.
Beautiful.
Okay? She is. Again...
Well, you know, I'm not going to hit on her or anything.
I mean, I really? I don't know with
no,
you.
No, I'm happily married.
But you immediately go to the... I mean,
how old is she?
Yeah, you want some specifics? You want some more particulars?
Well, you brought up her looks. So the first question is if she's 25, I'm not impressed.
I'm just saying, if we put her on the simulcast and you see her, folks, I'll just tell you that this is what every Felger and Maz listener looks like. And we have a good-looking audience. Maybe not. She has to be a top five in our audience. Has to.
Better or worse than Jill in Minnesota?
Both lovely gals. I've never seen Jill in Minnesota in person.
We've had her photos on the simulcast.
Her photos are great. So,
I'm surprised she didn't visit us at the Super Bowl.
Same ballpark. I'm disappointed she didn't visit us at the studio. I mean,
I will be on my best behavior when she's here, I promise.
But anyway, folks, if you want to help out with Christmas in the City, when we always have drives for them, toy drives and fun drives and all that in the winter, they really need volunteers now. So if you want to help that cause, ChristmasInTheCity.org, ChristmasInTheCity.org for any details of how you can help at this time of year. And again, thanks to everyone who showed up last night at the Seaport. Final segment of your calls, as promised. Here's Wayne in Grafton on Jackie Bradley. What do you think, Wayne?
Well, first of all, I thought I was one of your best
looking. No question. You are top five as well, Wayne.
Speaking of looks, Mike, I like your new look. You look kind of like a Roman gladiator, like Charlton Heston in, Ben-Hur. And, Murray, I guess you can't go to Easton because it's not cool to wear sunglasses in Easton. Now we get to Maz. Maz, you never change. You're just the same. You're boring, but I love you. Anyway, now we talk about I can tell you're impressed. We talk about JBJ. We know he sucks. He blows. I mean, he had three balls, no strikes on him. At least he could have thrown himself in front of and get hit by a pitch. But what are you going to do about that? And guys, I love your studio. I know Frank the Tank didn't, but you guys know I grew up in Dorchester, and I think I should come down there with a couple of 30 packs, take a ride down the street to Carson Beach, put our Speedos on. Hope for the best, and the jellyfish sharks, and Jimmy Garoppolo's girlfriend. Peace out.
Okay, peace out, Wayne. All over the place, sir, a little bit. Jackie Bradley, he swung the bat once. That was the last pitch.
I mean, really, again, six pitches, so he's up 3-0. I don't have a problem taking there. And the pitch on 3-1 was an
outside corner. Good
it
pitch.
Was. It was a good pitch. It was a fastball in the outside corner. But I also think that, you got to go up looking there to sort of be ready to hit.
3-2.
I just don't think he's a confident hitter.
3-2, you knew he was cooked.
Oh, yeah, he was done then.
Over.
Yeah.
Over. He swung at ball four. Tough ball to take on ball four. But Rodney missed the target by a mile. catcher was set up low and away, and he chucks it up and in. Again, a hard one to lay off of, but, you know, the second guess is for Cora, and it's, you know, I think it's all about protecting Jackie Bradley and coddling Jackie Bradley and not upsetting him by pinch hitting for him and not upsetting him after the game by not letting us know Moreland's hurt, because if you let us know Moreland's hurt last night, then that's basically saying we would have pinch hit for him, but Moreland was hurt. And so it's just the coddling of Jackie Bradley continues. Philip in New Hampshire has a thought on baseball writers. Yes, Philip.
Hey, Pugger. So, Tony, I have a problem with your BBWAA brethren. I feel like it's become way too easy to get inducted into Cooperstown.
I agree.
Did you know that this year's class matches the biggest lineup of living players to be inducted in 63 bleeping years?
Oh, my God. How many guys are going in?
Okay, yeah, it's four or five, I think. Honestly, I don't even remember who got in. Like,
it's four plus two from the
Veterans Committee.
Yeah.
Oh. Painful.
Yeah, brutal.
So
I think too many, forget the Veterans Committee part of it. I think too many guys are getting voted in. Like the whole idea of, to me, the Hall of Fame is, you know, the top.
The Hall of Fame.
Right.
Not the Hall of Really Good.
Right. Like I'm a big believer in small hall. Like, you know, I think you should, if you're not 90% yes, you're not in. Like it's got to be pretty close to a slam dunk.
Absolutely.
That's how I feel.
So but by the way, all leagues are like this, and if you really want to, like, baseball might still be the most selective of all the, I mean, you don't want to look at some of these others.
Basketball's a joke.
Oh, my God. Brutality.
John Calipari's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. He's still coaching. Seriously, that to me is a joke. It's a joke. You shouldn't even come up until you're done.
But baseball's bad, but, you know, it's probably still the best of the bunch. Anthony in Medford has a thought on Jackie Bradley. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, well, Mike, Moreland was hurt, so maybe the bad boy should have pinch hit for him. Ridiculous. Last week when he was going a little bit good, JBJ said he's been hitting the ball hard all year. Yeah, right. If the playoffs were to start, should the outfield be Betts, Benintendi, J.D. Martinez, and Pierce? Lefties are hitting hand, you couldn't stop me. Herb Washington was the pinch runner with Oakland A's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. We didn't... The trivia answer.
He got it right. Herb Washington, Oakland A's. He was legitimately just a pinch runner. I'm not sure he ever even had an at bat. But in any case.
If the Red Sox make no changes to their roster, what should be their playoff outfield?
So I would say it depends on whether they're facing a lefty or a righty and where they're playing, because I don't want J.D. Martinez playing right field in Fenway Park in a playoff game. I don't. I don't care what, you know, crap-ass metrics are out there or not. I don't want anything to do with them there. So I want J.D. Martinez DH'ing, start Bradley, and then hit for him if you need to hit for him. Like
he's not an everyday player in the postseason is what you're saying.
Bradley.
Yeah.
No. No, 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 no.
I'm with you.
Absolutely not.
Okay, here's Mike and Lynn on the Patriots. Hi, Michael.
How we doing, fellas?
Good, how you doing?
Listen, I just want to say the Garoppolo trade is going to come back to be the beginning of the end of the Patriots dynasty. They're going to have Josh McDaniels picking the next quarterback in 2 years. The guy who drafted Tim Tebow and liked Lamar Jackson. You ever hear Lamar Jackson speak? He put him read a Dr. Seuss book.
Okay. I'm not sure what that matters.
How's he going to read an NFL playbook?
Well, I mean, there's football smart and there's book smart. But is this the beginning of the end of the Patriots? Kind of feels like it. It kind of feels like it. So... I mean, that's the thing that just goes back to the Garoppolo decision. If you stuck with Garoppolo, whether you think he's the second coming or not, you have to acknowledge that he's a promising player and that Bill would have stuck around for him because he loves him and has tied his legacy to him. So you would have had a run with a really promising young quarterback and Belichick for several years. So you're not falling off the grid there. Maybe you're not winning a championship, but you ain't falling off the map. So now it feels like you are sort of teetering. Like when Brady's done, what do you got? You got nothing.
Unless, you know, Etling had a good day yesterday.
Would you
today.
Stop with that?
You buying into that?
Well, of course not.
Well, I don't know. I'm starting to get intrigued.
Are you really? Would you shut up?
You don't believe that.
You don't believe that.
We'll see how it goes.
Here's Ned in the North End. Yes, Ned.
So how is it? Is the press corps so, at Bill Belichick's press conference, so cowered by him? If someone doesn't say, in focusing in 2018, you need to learn from your past mistakes. You look at film after you play a team, you learn from your mistakes. So how is it you don't examine your mistakes, like not putting Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl to make you a better better coach in 2018? Someone doesn't ask that question.
Good one, Ned. Good one. You could even get a little creative and just say, because Bill mentioned this a couple times in that press conference about how I have to be good in 2018. It's my job to get the team ready, and I have to do everything I can to hone my game. And so all that self-analysis, and then someone just you can just ask. Are you someone that goes back and looks at some of your past mistakes and tries to learn from them? Do you study yourself like you would study your players? And if he says yes, absolutely, you say, can you give me an example? And I just, you know, would love to see what he would say.
Well, no, I'm sure he'd be very forthcoming.
I'm talking about that player and this player. I'm talking about this year. This is where I'm at this year. I'm not talking about those players. It's 2007. It's 2004. Not 2000. Not 2001.
Right. Go ahead, Jimmy. You can't do it? You're down? We've got James in Lowell. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. Quick question about Jimmy G with his contract. So Brady's been taking pay cuts for the last 10 years or so to be on the team. Not to be on the team, but to make it financially right. And Jimmy G just took a huge deal, making $25 to $30 million a year. Who's making it sense that the Patriots would give him that money and be here for 10 years?
No, well, that's not the deal. You wouldn't start with that contract. You would start with something else.
How do we know Jimmy doesn't say no to that? And he's all in it for the money.
Jimmy wanted to start. That's what he wanted, okay? And the money was going to come where the money was going to come, as evidenced by what happened in San Francisco. So if you had traded Brady and kept Garoppolo, you would have had him last year was the last year of his contract. So this year you would have had to give him a new contract. So it would have been some sort of bridge contract because he wouldn't have had a game in 2 years under his belt. The reason he just got the contract that he did is because he played and went 5-0. That's why he got the contract. If he's here, he gets a two-year bridge deal at good money. But he has no rights to ask for it, and I don't think that he does. He just wants to start, all right? That's all he wanted was to start, and then the money would take care of itself.
I think they'd have been able to figure it out. And again, remember that Brady is the same agent. So that agent was willing to, you know, work on a budget,
exactly.
You know, work under the team parameters with Brady. Why wouldn't he be willing to do with it, Jimmy Garoppolo?
Agreed. Rich in East Bridgewater. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Mike. You made the stupidest comment in the history of sports radio 5 minutes ago.
That's saying something.
Okay. Here's the comment. If Tom Brady was drafted by another team, he might not have ever won one championship.
I didn't say another team. Hold on. I said the Arizona Cardinals. I said the Cleveland Browns. If he had been drafted into a horrible situation, he might not have even won a starting job, never mind a Super Bowl. I'll stand by that. But there's teams he could have been drafted by that he would have won with, for sure.
So, in other words, if he was drafted by a bad team like Arizona or Cleveland, that he would not have been able to complete all the passes that he's done over the years with garbage receivers and good receivers over the years. Is that basically what you're saying?
Basically.
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. And by the way, Bill Belichick didn't pick Tom Brady in the sixth round. It was Bobby Greer's assistant who insisted that they take him in the sixth round at that time. So don't give Belichick any credit for drafting Brady in the first place.
You ever meet Carlton in Tampa, Rich? I should get you two together.
Can you imagine the offspring of those two?
Oh, my God.
Wow. The spawn of Rich and Carlton.
Belichick ran the draft board. He gets credit for the Brady pick. Sorry. Even if Bobby Greer scouted him. Even if Bobby Greer recommended him. Or Dick Rabine, the former quarterback coach. Whoever it is, all those scouts that are in there deserve credit for pumping up Brady. God bless. Bill runs the board. He gets credit for the draft pick. Sorry.
I can't believe how stubborn people get about this. Like, look, you can be a Brady guy, not a Belichick guy. You can do that. It's fine. But to sit there and say Tom Brady would have been the same player without a coach like Bill Belichick is crazy. I mean, this guy's like the best technique, strategy, approach guy ever. He's the best coach ever.
So that was a big Brady guy. I should have asked him. Then he should be supportive of Robert Kraft stepping in and meddling in this last decision and saving Tom Brady for the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, but see, for guys like that, no, you can't do it that way because Brady's got to get all the credit.
What's the poll there, Jimmy? Brady or Belichick, where do we stand today?
4,083 respondents, 59% Tom Brady, 41% Bill Belichick.
And I am happy to report that only 63% of all people now think that trading Garoppolo was a mistake.
So it is amazing how those numbers just sort
of... It was at 70 earlier, it's down to 63.
So you have more volatility on yours than Jimmy does on his.
Yeah, but again, that's because it's the Mass Echo Chamber.
Final word...
It fits my person. I was a little more volatility there.
Folks, from time to time, you hear the update man, whether it's Hardy or Wallach or Murray, jump into time and temperature, every hour. We had the best time and temperature read ever in the history of this station. Earlier this program, we'll replay that and have some more material for you in the final word.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So you just might have heard me give the hourly sponsor before we came into the final word here.
This was awesome.
And, well, we had a bit of a false start, if you will.
I don't know how this sounded over the air. I just know how it sounded in here, and I loved every second of it. So we're going to give you the whole what it sounded like on the radio, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is correct. This is, well, it was
this is the program feed.
This is a flub from earlier today.
Murray.
Sorry, Jimmy. This hour of Felger and Maz. Oh, no. What are you talking about? I don't have anything here.
Sorry.
This is Felger and Maz. Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
95, the Sports Hub.
Oh, that was perfect.
Well.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
But, man, that's a long time to have silence there.
Oh, my God.
Like a...
Murray.
Sorry, Jimmy. This hour of Felger and Maz. Oh, no. What are you talking about? I don't have anything here.
Sorry, Murray.
Yeah, see, those come at 3:50, 2:50, not a 20 past the hour.
So good. Like a Swiss watch here.
Yeah. So also, it being, summertime, we've been doing a lot of best ofs of Squeaky Maz, Mad Mike, and Final Word materials. Let's bring it back a few years where, Mike, you were very mad about the sharks migrating around Precious Nantucket in the island.
No, it's the seals. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. You see that video? What are we doing? Well, what are we doing? Is it me? Tell me this.
Are you going to go off on surfers now?
Tell me this. Well, a jackwagon like this, was he back in the water the next day? Probably was. So sort of like...
Gotta finish the tourney.
Teeming with sharks.
He's going to go la-la-la back in the water. You get bit next time, pal, that's something less than a tragedy. Sorry, but...
Look, see, I think they're on the upswing. Because sharks are migrating north.
To where we are?
I don't know.
Look.
Just in general, north.
Look, can I swim 10 feet off of shore without the fear of getting munched by a man-eating shark? Like, that's what I would want. Like, and the seal thing, and you've heard me go off on the seals. And then you have the jackwagons, Mr. Shorecaster. If you want to go hundreds of yards out from shore with your surfboard, mate, and, you know, do some air-to-fakey crap out there, then that's a whole different animal, and you are taking it in your own hands. Okay? That's your deal. There is something going on.
We need dolphins, too.
There's no question that climate change and all this is affecting all sorts of stuff.
Sharks are migrating north.
What are you talking about?
It's great.
Oh, yeah, you didn't hear about this?
No, it's somehow my fault, I guess, though, hashtag one big bag.
But the shorecasters I like. Let's have all the families swimming in the ocean with little kids and everything, and then you jackwagon with your big, long reel casting from the shore and bringing in fish and bloody fish. Let's just bring it all to the shore where we all are. Great. So you can catch your fish.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.